Nick, the stuff that separates the inanimate world from life, we are just that stuff, aren't we?
Yes, we are the same stuff as the inanimate world, except we are constantly in motion. The inanimate world is in motion, but not continuously. We are, that's what sets us apart, really, is the movement.
But it's more than just that, isn't it? I guess a car's moving. So what is it in terms of biology that separates the chemistry of this from the chemistry of you that renders you alive?
Well, I am a continuous chemical reaction. In all of my cells, at every moment, every millisecond of time, there are parts of my food reacting with oxygen, and that is animating me, and that is what's happening in every single cell. And at the origin of life, at the very beginning of everything, that is what we're looking for, a continuous reaction.
And you, as an evolutionary biochemist, ground all of life in chemistry.
I do, but chemistry with order. Not kind of messy chemistry in a bucket, but there is order in the world, in geology, in hydrothermal vents, in hot springs, in the mountains, in the tectonic plates, in the structure of the earth. There's always order there. It's order that's coming in the end from gravity.
And tell me, the unit, if you like, of life, you're pretty clear that the focus of that is the cell, yes?
To me, the fundamental unit of life is the cell, not the gene, but the cell.
And the cell is what?
Well, the cell is, at its simplest, no more than a kind of a bag with a membrane around it. And what's inside that bag is different to what's outside the bag. And as soon as you close the bag, it has to be different. And because it's different on the inside to the outside, the membrane acquires a charge. And actually, that is how we work with our own mitochondria inside our cells, is we have a charge across that membrane, which is very small. You'd hardly be able to measure it. But if you were to shrink yourself down to the size of a molecule, it's equivalent to 30 million volts per meter. It's like a bolt of lightning.
This feels really important to me, though, because I'm trying to here distinguish between the whole business of chemistry and life. We've arrived at the concept of a cell, and we're saying that the perimeter, the boundary of that cell, the membrane, and the membrane itself is, of course, just, it's inorganic. It's not alive. Is that fair?
Bilipid? Yes, it's made of organic molecules,
yes.
but it is not in any sense alive, no.
And across that membrane, there is a charge, yes?
Yes.
And that's true of all cell membranes.
Yes.
And the charge from your work and others feels central to the whole business of garnering the important chemistry that makes life then follow.
That charge drives work. It drives things to happen. And the interesting thing is that as soon as you have a membrane, and it's 5 millionths of a millimeter thick, this is almost transparently thin, but as it frustrates the mixing between the two phases on the outside and the inside. So ions charge crosses that membrane at different speeds, and that's what generates a charge on the membrane. And that charge on the membrane drives work, and it will drive work on one side of the membrane, which almost by definition is the inside of the membrane. And so the difference between the world and the cell, the inside of the cell, is driven by that charge to make things happen inside.
And the charge will always exist on a live cell. There
yes.
will always be a charge. And all that separates a live cell from a dead cell is the presence or absence of a charge?
I would say death comes with the collapse of the charge, yes.
Just thinking about this then, this whole business of the charge, going back to your conception of the origin, your view around the origin of life, ahead of us having cells, however many thousands of millions of years ago, cell-like structures might have existed in a way that both permitted and allowed that charge?
The kind of environment that I like best as a setting for the origin of life is hydrothermal vents. And some of these vents have effectively a labyrinth of cell-like structures. And they have a continuous flow. If you think about our own cells, we have a cardiovascular system. We're breathing all the time. We're taking in oxygen. We're transporting it around the body. We're delivering it to the mitochondria inside our cells. And we are kept alive by this continuous chemical reaction in all of our cells, which is generating a charge on the membranes inside all of our cells. And if you take away all of that machinery, if you like, and think, well, what's the simplest possible form of any of this to happen? What we need is structure that are cell-like structures. We need the charge, which you will gain on those simply because of the differences between the phases. And we need a continuous flow, a continuous delivery of the reactive parts, the gases that are going to react.
And those are carbon dioxide and hydrogen.
Life is based on carbon dioxide and hydrogen. And in these hydrothermal vents, we have carbon dioxide dissolved in the oceans and hydrogen bubbling out of the ground in a cell-like structure. It's got everything that you need to become cells.
And as I understand it from you, those gases, and of course I remember this from A-level chemistry, wouldn't react in the presence of oxygen.
No, in the presence of oxygen, hydrogen will react with oxygen directly. So life can only start on a planet without any oxygen. Life is never going to start today on an oxygenated planet.
What seems odd to me is that given those two constituents with the right charge in the right conditions, organic molecules follow.
It's very peculiar, but if you were just to take, you know, a test tube with a mixture of hydrogen and carbon dioxide in it and warm it to, say, 50 degrees centigrade and shake it, what should happen thermodynamically is cells will form. That's not going to happen, of course, because there is a barrier to them reacting. They don't really want to react. They're quite stable gases. But if you were to provide the right catalyst, the right context, in fact, an electrical charge on a membrane, then they will react. And when they react to form organic molecules, and they do, and it's been done in the lab, that releases energy. It's more stable to have cells than it is to have a mixture of hydrogen and carbon dioxide in the same place. And that, when they react and form effectively cells, releases energy, and that energy heats the environment and increases entropy.
So the fact of life, the fact that these constituents go to form organic molecules, means that they are more stable and energy is released back
exactly
to outside of them.
Yes.
Which is a preferred state, if you like, for the universe.
We simply hasten the heat death of the universe, yes.
So organic molecules will follow in the right conditions with the right constituents, oddly, I think.
Mm.
Almost as though there's some kind of, it feels like a set piece that's unrolling from that position in the right conditions.
It's extraordinary what has changed over the last 5 or 6 years. Again, experimental works showing that if you start with carbon dioxide and hydrogen, you get a network of chemistry, of reactions that happen spontaneously that are all favored. And that network looks like metabolism. It prefigures metabolism. This is a network of thermodynamically favored reactions that spontaneously happen.
Why is it thermodynamically favored? Because it releases energy.
Because it releases energy. And if you look at the molecules themselves and try to figure out which bit of this molecule is going to be reactive, you can usually see that this oxygen here is going to react. And it depends, of course, what it can react with, what's in the environment. But if that environment is essentially constant, and we are a constant environment, that's why it's easy for us to not realize we are a continuous chemical reaction. What you have in a hydrothermal vent and what you have in us is a constant environment whereby it's being consumed all the time and refed, renourished all the time.
And I don't understand enough about, I guess, entropy is a, but that's a given, isn't it, I suppose, in physics, that is the direction of travel of the universe. So that the brief order of life favours the entropy of the universe.
Yes, it's easy to, many people have got stuck in this idea that life is a low entropy organised state. And it's actually a lot more equivocal than that. But there are a membrane when it forms. A membrane is usually a bilayer. It's got fatty parts in the middle surrounded by hydrophilic head groups, but effectively it's a water-loving shell on the outside with a fatty inside, a kind of oily inside, that will form spontaneously, just as oil will float on water spontaneously, just as soap bubbles form spontaneously. It's a favoured state, and it releases energy. And when membranes form, energy is released as heat into the environment, and water molecules then will jiggle around faster, and entropy has increased.
So two thoughts come to mind. One, we haven't got anywhere near talking about genes and the genome.
No.
This is all pure physics and chemistry, if indeed there is a separation anyway. But two, also, I mean, is it too far-fetched to say almost that matter is inclining to life?
No, I don't think it is. The environment that I'm talking about is produced by the Earth itself and by any wet, rocky planet. Effectively, gravity is taking iron and heavier elements down to the middle. They are, you can say, saturated in electrons. And the stuff that goes into the atmosphere from the mantle, that's hot. It's 1,600 degrees or more. So any carbon that goes in there comes out as CO2. And CO2, you could say, is oxygen, is electron poor. So the Earth is a giant battery with a negative charge inside and a positive charge outside. And cells are a tiny battery. They have the same topology as the Earth. They're negatively charged inside, positively charged outside, relative to each other. And there's the pores in hydrothermal vents. You could think of the Earth, as the crust of the Earth as a membrane, separating the inside from the hydrosphere and the atmosphere and so on. And the exchange across that membrane is happening in hydrothermal vents. And in these pores in the vents, we have this same topology, that it's negatively charged inside, positively charged outside.
And is there an inevitability then, once you have those metabolic reactions going and organic molecules, that genes follow? Are genes necessary to this? Where do genes come in?
Genes are necessary.
Okay.
And it's interesting, there are patterns in the genetic code, which have been known about since the code was first discovered back in the 60s. And those patterns suggest that there are direct interactions between the amino acids that make up the proteins that genes code for and the letters of the genes themselves, that they physically will bind to each other if only transient.
There's a synergy.
There's simply a relationship.
Okay.
I would call it a biophysical relationship. Okay. But it's the same as how, you know, a membrane will form spontaneously. An amino acid, which is hydrophobic, will bind to a base, which is hydrophobic. So these things are just, again, physical chemistry. And that is where genetic information ultimately comes from, is this biophysical basis that allows you can have a completely random stretch of a gene, and in effect it will template onto it a non-random protein. And that non-random protein, if it has function in the context of the cell-like thing that it's in, will undergo selection in a standard way. So you start with what appears to be a random sequence that gives you a non-random function, and that non-random function
opens
changes
up selection
everything.
And yes. Evolution and more complex life.
We get into natural selection as we know it.
It's interesting. Does this view of life leave you thinking? Does it demote it? Does it kind of extract wonder out of it, or does it leave you feeling even more vertigo?
I have more vertigo. I find it extraordinary that I don't think even 5 years ago that I could have sat on a stage and talked to you like this. This has changed a lot. And what I'm saying is that the metabolism of life is going to happen spontaneously, and the genetic code is going to depend on that metabolism. And so if we find life on Mars, or if we find life on Enceladus or anywhere else, if it's starting from carbon dioxide and hydrogen, and there's good reasons to think it should, then we should recover something similar to this same metabolism with the same genetic code, and I find that a very vertiginous place.
Just, we have in the last couple of minutes, could you say something? I know you're similarly impassioned by music. The symmetry of some of what you describe and the kind of domino effect of it, mm-hmm. has a musicality. Is that too far-fetched? You
no.
talk about the dance of charge and electrical fields and being the music rather than the instruments. Do you sense or attach a musicality to this?
Yes, there's two senses, I suppose. One of them is I talked about the proclivity of a molecule to react. You could almost see it as a chordal structure, that a chord wants to progress to somewhere else, to resolve
yes,
the harmony.
To resolve, yes. There's
some sense in which one molecule converting into another molecule is almost a chordal progression, resolving a harmony. There's something favoured about that progression. So there is music even in metabolism. But then the charge on the membrane as well, generates an electrical field. And the electrical field will make molecules resonate to that field in the same frequency, in the same state. And that is a musical state as well. And there's an argument to say that this is the simplest imaginable form of consciousness, of a self, that a cell with a charge on a membrane is interacting with the world around it, because the world is converted into the language of metabolism inside. There is nothing inside a cell which is an objective portrait of what's happening outside that cell. The membrane translates the outside world into the language of metabolism. Metabolism generates the charge, and the charge integrates everything in the cell into the same state and gives it a self, a unit, as an entity, as a being.
Thank you very much, Nick Lane.
Thank you.